Mate, that is exactly like religion. What religion does is like falling in love with a girl and marrying the dress.
Yeah.
It really is. So they get all shook up and took up with the shadow and then the substance.
Exactly. It is just amazing, and completely ignore the substance, in fact. We can go around and tell people who they are in Christ all day long. All it's going to teach them is arrogance. Because if you don't know that who you are in Christ is exactly the same as the prostitute on the street corner, if you do not know that your being in Christ is the same as theirs, you will become self-righteous in being in Christ.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 17th of April 2014, coming to you from the WITGR studios in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say ignorance is curable, but stupid, that's much more likely to be permanent. And here from Houston, Texas, is the chuckling founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. G'day, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. I am wonderful, Barris. And thank you guys for joining us today. We do have some listeners, don't we? Don't we?
Well,
don't we? Don't we?
Last week we had 3.5 listeners. I couldn't figure if that was 7 half wits or 3 full wits and a half wit. I just couldn't figure that out.
Math is so tricky.
Especially when you're people like me. Hey, family, we decided we were going to do an Easter special, or an Ishtar special, as I called it, and that's what we're doing today. We're doing our Ishtar special, and it comes in two parts. Next week is the psychological and historical evidence for a resurrection, and this week it is Mike's presentation of how Paul saw the resurrection. So, Mike, Paul said in Colossians 2, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. God had an operation of faith going here.
Yes.
Who also raised him from the dead. So you are buried with him in baptism, in which you're also risen with him. Talk to us about this, buddy.
When we begin to narrow in on the feast of the first fruits, it is spoken of almost exclusively by Paul. I think it is obvious that the disciples did not understand that all of these feast days were fulfilled in Christ. But with Paul, Paul seemed to make quite a bit to do about it. And in his teaching on first fruits, which comes in 1 Corinthians, it is really quite amazing. Now,
can I just insert this here, mate?
Thou mayest.
Well, thank us thee mostly, kindly. In Hebrews 2:10, Paul says, "For it became him, it suited him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make thee captain," is the word that is used in English. Now, the reason that this is used like this, archagos, comes from two different words, but it means an author or a captain, or, as I say, a prototype. A first goer is actually the real meaning. Mm. These kings used to lead their people into battle. They were the first goer into the battle. And it says here, to make the first goer of their salvation perfect through sufferings, and on it goes. But that first goer, if that's not first fruits, I don't know what is.
Yes. And he is the first goer or the first fruits, which includes everything then, is the amazing thing about the first fruits or the first goer. The first goer didn't go and everybody else stay behind.
Yeehaw.
You know, that's
in,
not how that works.
Bringing many sons to glory.
Yes, bringing many. And how many is many?
Many is all.
Many is all. We went through that and we beleaguered the point for a reason, because people just seem to just want to allow that term many to be taken out of context. While they use it to the advantage of their doctrine, they won't use it when it's talking about that many were made sinners under Adam. They say, oh, no, that's all.
Well, again, it's about making money, mate.
It is doctrines of convenience.
I
remember coining that phrase a few years ago. But Paul described the resurrection in context of the seat.
Now,
and
is
this whole issue of first fruits.
Is this in 1 Corinthians 15 that you are?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Paul goes into some detail in addressing these things and also correcting people's thoughts about these things. And this really comes in verse 35. Let me start right there, and then we'll just see how far this goes. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So now we are talking about the resurrection of the dead. This is such an important topic, because the resurrection of the dead, of course, if the resurrection of the dead, the first fruits, was fulfilled in Christ, guess when the resurrection of the dead took place? Come on, Barris.
Resurrection of Christ?
There you go.
Well, it's just that I got friends listening to this, and they're going to tell me I got it wrong.
Well, that's your problem, not mine. Here we have this teaching. Paul's talking about the resurrection of the dead, and he's saying, now you're asking about the resurrection of the dead. Now, how is it that the dead will be raised again? How do we view this resurrection of the dead? Verse 37, verse 36, thou fool. Well, goodness gracious.
Dang, remind me not to ask any questions.
You fool. Well, I tell you now, I'll have to tell you, thou is italicized, so It is not in the original, so it just starts out, fool.
Yeah.
Takes the personal effect out of it.
Oh, man.
Don't you feel less the target by just somebody standing in front of you saying, fool?
I want to hear Mr. T say this. Fool!
Yeah.
That which...
Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
So a seed is just this teensy, beansy thing. You drop it in the ground, next thing you got this big old tree or piece of wheat or whatever it is, and that's the body, correct?
That's its body.
Okay.
Now, the one thing we know is that Christ was the seed. This is how is the resurrection of the dead? He's talking about human beings. How are human beings going to be raised from the dead? Well, first off, you have to understand that this is going to happen through a seed, and that in this seed, God, everything that is a seed hath a body. Everything that hath is a seed hath a body. This is just biology or botany or anything that you want to look at, 101. Everything that is a seed has a body. Now, that which thou sowest is not the body, but just a grain. But God, I remember, Barris, when this began to become relevant to me, and I got stuck on verse 38, and I was running through the house, repeating this verse at the top of my lungs. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And God gave Christ his body.
Now, according to religion, and certainly the denominations of Christianity to which I belonged, the body of Christ is all of those people who become believers. And so the body of Christ is, and because I've got free will, I choose whether I want to become a believer or not. If I'm an Arminian, which is the greater part of Christianity today, of course, if I'm a Calvinist, well, this verse is really good for him, because some are in, some are out, so what? And because God does all the choosing, you're going to hell and I don't give a hoot. But for most Christians, I get to choose whether I'm in or out.
Mm-hmm.
So the verse ought to really read, but I give it a body as it pleases me. And yet this verse is saying God chose the body according to whatever it pleased him, not what pleased me.
What it pleased him, yeah. Within the context of how seeds work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless of whether that's human, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a seed that brings forth corn or grain or what it is, a pine tree, a giant sequoia in on our west coast here in the United States. If you've ever seen them, they are impressive. You can drive a car through one. Every part of that tree that you see was inside the seed before it went in the ground, or you would not be seeing it at all. You cannot have something to become a part of a tree naturally that is that was not already genetically assigned to that seed within that seed.
You don't get an apple seed planted and then you got a couple of peaches and an apple here and there and a
exactly. And if the seed is defective, then the tree itself will be defective. If there's something wrong with the seed, I remember just 2 years ago studying a little bit about the seed, and the term scarification came up. They actually take razor blades or some sharp object and scrape across a seed. And it's called scarification, before they put it in the ground, if they want that seed to come out of the ground quickly, and particularly that it will take place within 3 days if scarification has taken place first.
3 days?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds terribly familiar.
But you know what? I just listened to you say that, and I nearly missed it.
Well, I've evidently not said it correctly.
or you're just too smart for the rest of us. I reckon that might be it. You're just way in front of you.
I choose to believe your report. So the scarification, goodness gracious, when you get down to the intricacy of this resurrection and the seed, you cannot talk about the resurrection without talking about the seed. What came out of the ground? It's so vitally important that we know. Now, I remember going in on Easter Sunday morning and singing, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose with victory from the dark domain, and he lives forever in his saints today. He arose.
He arose.
He arose.
He arose.
Hallelujah. Christ arose.
Oh, can we?
That's all you're getting.
Can we get some money for the Gospel Revolution Orphan Choir? Here we are, Burlives. Burlives is long gone, but we're just trying to stay afloat.
We need an offering for a whole new singer for the Gospel Revolution, which we have a lot of. Let me just stop and say, oh my gosh, we are gathering so many wonderful artists. One you heard last week. I don't know if we introduced him or not. We will do that this week. I am sure Barris will. We will identify these culprits of great talent that are contributing to the Gospel Revolution. It really is amazing.
So there you heard me getting my nails scraped across the concrete because I didn't identify someone. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Gary. But my boss is so sweet; he would never out me publicly like that. So I'm gonna out myself as the goose in question here. I'm so sorry. This is Gary Helms of Gilmer, Texas. He wrote and sang this song after listening to Mike's series Ephesians and Galatians. And so here's a little tease, and at the end of the program, you're going to hear the whole song once again. It's Gary Helms of, is it Gary Gilmer of Helms, Texas? Is there a Helms, Texas? No, it's Gary Helms of Gilmer, Texas. Here he is, folks.
In Christ we are one.
I'm just tying a couple of previous comments, previous podcasts together here, and I'm getting the much more why you talk about the bookends of Christ's life. You talk, yes, about a miracle birth and then a miracle resurrection.
Yes.
And when you're talking about this seed, you're talking about a seed which was pure because it had no human father, but it had a human mother, and the seed was a brand new seed that had never been sown in the earth before and wouldn't be sown for another 33 years. But when it was, this seed was, as you say, scarified.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's some stuff in there.
It really is incredible. And we know that everything that is in the seed is part of the body of the seed once it comes out of the ground. Of course, Ephesians gives us this in-depth description as to this. Another highly deferred comment of Paul's teaching of being in Christ, that in Christ is a selection made by the human being as to what point you will be in Christ. When you accept him, he accepts you, and that's when you move in and he moves in, and everybody becomes one at that time, which can also be undone with one single sin.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. There is none of this that lines up with the seed. Show me Christian doctrine within the context of what a seed does and does not do, and I will accept it.
Hey, listen, have you taken your blood pressure medicine today, mate?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you're just getting a bit excited there. I just wanted to make sure you were safe.
Piquito.
A little bit, okay.
The fact of it is, Barris, is that Christianity in its doctrines of delayed prophecy, of being in Christ, being a personal choice, let's take the one term which no Christian disagrees with, and that is Christ the seed. And you prove your doctrine through the anatomy of a seed. That's all I'm asking you to do. Prove it through the anatomy of a seed. I can prove the resurrection of the entire world into life. I can prove through the anatomy of the seed that the resurrection of Christ was the resurrection of the entire world. Paul gives us a detailed explanation that when Christ, the seed, was on the cross, Jesus took all Jew, all Gentile inside himself. Now the seed, which is hanging on the cross, has taken on the DNA of all humanity. He has taken on the Jewishness of humanity. He has taken on the Gentileness of humanity. We did not get into Christ in some point after the cross. So when you compare this incredible gospel to Christianity, and we use the biology of the seed. If we use just what a seed does and what a seed don't do, and you keep that in its context, it disproves Christianity and it approves the gospel. I cannot make an apology to you about that. And in Christ, when he took on all of humanity, The in Christ terminology that Christianity has put off, and oh my goodness, do you remember, you know how many variations of Christianity define who is in Christ and who is not?
Every one of them.
Every one of them have some different definition as to who qualifies for being in there. Do you know that the dynamics of the seed disproves every single Christian doctrine about being in Christ?
Every ism is demolished.
Everyone, without exception. So we've got to figure out how did we get in him? Did we get in him by choice? At what point? Now, the reason that's important, that we understand that it was at the cross, is where we crawled in. That's where we crawled in. That's where we were pulled in. That's where we were taken in. That's when we were brought into the cleft of the rock. That's when we were brought into the shadow of the Almighty, because judgment was coming. And all of these Old Testament prophecies are being fulfilled at such a rate that the human mind could not even keep track of them. If we walked through them one by one, you could not separate them in time, many of them happening simultaneously, and of the power of this resurrection that has taken place, the power of this death. There is power in the death of Christ. It wasn't the death of just another man. This death was to do away with the old everything. This death was to bring the end of time. This death was to bring the end of all things. This death was to bring us to a point to where that the old relationship between God and man would be obliterated in its entirety.
Well, can we look at that a bit right here as you read? I hope I'm not jumping the gun with you here.
No, jump.
But we have down in verse 41, we say, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars are different from each other in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It's mm-hmm. sown in, and I'm sure that you're going to come back to that. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory, as we read earlier. He brought many sons to glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Jesus himself said, "You'll do much more powerful things than this." And I'm just gonna guess that being made one with God is way more powerful than turning water into wine. But that's just my own, much as I'd like. Anyway,
that's a good Aussie definition. I think I'm gonna go with.
There is a it is sown a natural body, and it's raised a spiritual body. Suddenly, we don't know anyone by by their nature anymore. We know them by the Spirit, as Paul says. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a... actually, this could be best read. The first man, Adam, was made a quickened soul, or made a live soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, or a to make alive spirit.
The first Adam was made alive. The last Adam gave life.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the difference.
Huge difference.
And it's wonderful that the first Adam was made alive. But to the same degree that the first Adam had a choice in being made alive by God, the people whom Christ made alive, by comparison, have as much choice as Adam did in being made alive by God himself.
That's the most amazing thing. You know, whenever I talk to anyone about Romans 5 verse 18, not one defender of any Christian denomination can say anything except, oh, no, it doesn't mean what it says.
No.
I mean, there is nowhere to go because that is pretty specific. It's like this corruption will put on incorruption business.
Yes. Now, going back to verse 42, which you were aptly aware that I would go back to.
I know you just a little
You're
bit.
So in tune. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're just like a little tuning fork, you know, just ning, 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 ning.
Oh, boy. Now you made me sound like a mosquito.
42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now, was Christ corrupt?
No.
He was not corrupt. So what part of this seed was sown in corruption?
I think the secret might be in verse 56. The sting of death is sin.
Yes.
And the strength of sin is the law.
Yes. And where was that sin? In the human race, Jew and Gentile, regardless of whether they were under the law or not.
Because if they weren't under the law of the Ten Commandments, they were a law to themselves.
Not only that, they were under the imputed law from Adam to the entire human race. Even though God didn't give the law to the human race, he did give sin to the human race.
Nice God.
I know. All for our benefit. Because had he not imputed sin to all, had he made sin something that... Had he made sin something that was measured by what each individual did, there would be a need for multiple Christs.
Different levels. I need a different level of salvation than you do.
You need a different Savior. If I've got a different sin than yours, you need a different Savior than I've got.
Now, you said something earlier, and that was that what most of Christianity wants to do is delay certain things. They want to delay the last trump. They want to delay, well, I was talking to somebody the other day, and according to them, redemption is going to be delayed until the very last day when everything is redeemed. Justification is delayed because if I can sin and then fall out of fellowship with God, obviously I'm not justified. I'm somethingified, but it's not justified. I'm not certainly not sanctified. I'm absolutely not glorified because even if I look good, smell good, and everything else, I know that last night I had a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not glorified. Everything is put on delay.
Everything.
So what you are saying is that we are playing on a level playing field. There is one great equalizer here.
Yes.
Both in time and in effect.
Yes. And this, to wit, is the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies is not a futuristic event, Paris. The redemption of this body of sin was in Christ at the cross. And this is where this, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. I'm not waiting for the redemption of my body. That body of sin was redeemed already 2,000 years ago in Christ. This physical body has nothing to do with the redemption between God and man. Whether I live unto man. If I die unto man. If I live unto God. If I die unto God. nothing can change those absolutes on either side. So these facts are established in the body of one man. All things, let me make this absolutely clear. This is where I come from. This is where I stand. I'm not telling you that I understand everything about where I stand, but I do know where I stand. I stand firmly that the conceived life, the lived life, the crucified life, the resurrected physical body, you see, there's a reason that Jesus had to come back from the dead in a physical body, because the Word was made flesh. So this had to be risen from the dead in a flesh body to bring the fulfillment of all things, because once Christ leaves this flesh body, we have to assume that either things have yet to be fulfilled, because all thing that Christ was to be fulfilled during his flesh life. And this resurrection from the dead, they saw him, they ate with him, for God's sake. You pointed out, he was seen above 500 people after that. And this was not of some spook body. This was of a physical body that they had seen that was resurrected from the dead. Now, is that important that it was a physical? People say, well, I can embrace that he was raised from the dead spiritually. Well, then you have absolutely no place to place your faith whatsoever. If Christ only came out of the grave in a spiritual sense, then all you have is mysticism. You don't have anything else.
This is a prevailing mindset amongst some of the early heresies in the church and some of the more prominent cults and sects within the Christian fold today, where it's claimed that Jesus only rose in the spirit. Some of them even went as far as saying he only came to earth in spirit. It's all the same thing. What it is denying the reality of the only mark, not just the only mark that would change the world forever, but the only mark that would distinguish him from every other man who's ever lived. Paul said it best. He said, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then we of all people are the biggest idiots on the face of the planet. And he was absolutely right. But you see, once you remove the resurrection as a factual a thing, you can remove anything else you like. See, if you can believe in a resurrection, you can believe for anything. If you can accept that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it's not a very hard thing to accept that he was born of a virgin. It's even easier to believe that he turned water into wine. But what people want to do without the resurrection of Christ is simply center in on the fact that Christ was a good and wise teacher. What a bunch of BS that is. If he was good, he shouldn't have told people that he was God or made out that he was equal with God. If he was wise, he should have known people wouldn't have believed him. You can be good without being wise. You can be wise without being good. But you can't be good and wise and say and do the things that Jesus Christ said and did. But that's what people want to do. They know that at that point, most people won't think. Now, most people don't even think about the resurrection, to be honest. Most Christians certainly aren't smart enough to be Christians. And most people who follow Christ aren't smart enough, really, to call themselves anything more than just people who've been sold another bill of goods. The resurrection and our acceptance of that or denial of it will set the page for us.
Very true. And boy, once that's gone, and people say, why do you rail against those thoughts? Because there's only one way we're going to see ourselves as one, and therefore in generations to come have the power and the mental capacity to solve many of the problems that we now face and will face. I can't see it except in the power of one. You see that reality is in people's minds. There is something so powerful about what we're talking to you about that even people that don't believe in Christ know that the only answer to this is if we are all one. They know that.
Interesting, isn't it?
It is very interesting.
Spread the religion of the rhythm of life.
We are
Gospel Revolution.
Continuing on here, just in these verses, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is so. Now he's talking about dead, about people being raised from the dead.
Which verse are you in?
In verse 42.
Okay.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, this is where I get into speaking in tongues and shouting and dancing in the aisles and swinging from the chandeliers.
Handling snakes and yeah.
It is, I'm going to let you do that part.
Drinking poison.
It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. You see, by putting this off to a future event, we miss the most powerful revelation that has ever come to this planet. And that is that the way Adam was corrupted with sin, that the human race, regardless of his actions, regardless of his deeds or lack thereof, he can never fall into the corruption of sin and alienation, separation from God again. It can't happen. Now, you're just smiling at me. Come on, say something.
No, I'm smiling at you because you suddenly turned Italian. I mean, you didn't just speak with your mouth then. You spoke with every appendage you own.
I'm flailing, aren't I?
Yeah.
It is sown in dishonor. Christ was not sown in dishonor, but we were in him. That was part of the seed. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Oh my. Oh, Barris, if we can just get this, if we can just get this to this planet, we've been raised in glory. Now, the term glory, I always like to fall back on the Thayer's definition of this term glory. The term glory being the view and the opinion of God, which is reality. We have been raised into the view and the opinion of God. We've been raised into reality. Oh, my God, Barris, this is reality. You know, well, your reality is your reality. My reality is my reality. Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. Bull, and I'll stop it with one word, bull, and we will let you figure out the rest of the term. This is not my reality and your reality. We have all been raised in the same reality. Now, the reality is, this is the glory of God. You've been raised, the entire planet has been raised in the glory of God, in the view and the opinion of God. The view and the opinion of God has changed. Of the human race. It has changed drastically. It has changed universally. It has changed uniformly. There is no difference when God sees me or sees the guy under the bridge that is holding out a sign for money, whether he sees the family in Bangladesh, whether he sees our sweet friends in Kenya. It doesn't make any difference who he sees. That his opinion doesn't waver from one person to the other. The impact of that reality on this planet is profound where conceived and accepted. It is profound. We know that within people in the Gospel Revolution, those of you who are probably listening to our voice right now, this reality has revolutionized existence on planet Earth. This is, I hear you. I hear you. I get the letters. I get the phone calls. And some of you are so stymied that you hardly know what to leave on a message on the phone because this just didn't give you a better life. You are changed in your ability to see life in a whole different way. Because you see, I can tell you all day long, I like that little commercial on TV, it's a Geico commercial, where it says, you know, you can save 15%. Oh, everybody knows that. Oh, well, did you know that Pinocchio is not a good motivational speaker? And so they go to the little scene where Pinocchio is, I'm here to tell you that you have great potential. So, and I do a really good Pinocchio.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Their Pinocchio. I'm here to tell you, you have great potential. And he's looking at this, guy that doesn't look like he's got much potential.
But suddenly looks hopeful.
And he does look hopeful. But suddenly Pinocchio's nose starts growing. There's only one way you can know how great your potential is, Barris, and that is if you know the potential of the person sitting next to you. If you know the potential of every human being, when you realize that we all play from the very same base, we all play from the very same rules, we all come with the very same approval, we are all one in Christ. We are all one. There is no separation. There is no division. And when I get these phone calls and they leave, and these precious people leave these messages, they try so hard to explain their gratitude and their thankfulness for what's happened, and they can't do. I've never had one of them that's been able. They start doing what I do many times, stammering, and finally just saying, "Well, thank you." Because they're the words to describe what has happened elude us. They will always elude us. You're always going to feel very strange on this planet for the rest of your life. I apologize for that, but you are going to feel strange on this earth. You are going to see things differently. You're going to view differently. You are going to think for yourself from now on. And by the power to think by yourself comes from the uniformity of who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most powerful things that we will ever experience in this planet, is that the overarching reality that we are all equal is what frees us to think for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a mystery. That's part of this incredible mystery. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Oh, I only got through half that verse, didn't I? It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Do you see how Paul is telling us how the resurrection of the dead for the whole planet is going to take place? It's the same way the whole planet died. The whole planet died in one man, and the whole planet will be resurrected in one man, or in past context here. Because here, Barris, he is trying to get people to stop looking to the next feast day, the next Passover, the next tabernacles, the next ingathering, to find something, the next bloody four moons or whatever it might be. He's trying to get them, even though it is perfectly okay to celebrate these things in a traditional sense, to mark them in some way as having spiritual relevance now is devastating to your understanding, not only of who you are in Christ. You see, we can go around and tell people who they are in Christ all day long. All it's going to teach them is arrogance. Because if you don't know that who you are in Christ is exactly the same as the prostitute on the street corner downtown Houston or Atlanta or any place else around the world, if you do not know that your being in Christ is the same as theirs and that you're in Christ is somehow exclusive from them, you will become self-righteous in being in Christ. And that is not why Jesus died, to create a bunch of self-righteous people who separate themselves and feel that they have a one-upmanship on someone else spiritually. I can tell you, I do not feel the slightest degree that where God is concerned, that I am in better condition than anyone on this planet. No one. yet I am less than no one also. There is no one that I am less than. There is no one that I am greater than. In Christ, it is an absolute oneness that is so powerful that when you begin to understand it, Barris, it becomes palpable. You actually feel it. You feel it. You feel it. You feel it so powerfully. You feel it sitting in your home. You feel it driving around in your car. You feel it when you walk into the hospital. You feel it when you see somebody suffering. You feel it when you see somebody having joy. You feel and know it's palpable that we are one. We move and live and have our being in Christ.
You mourn with those who mourn. You joy with those who rejoice.
Yes.
Suddenly it all comes very clear.
Because we're all one. I mean, why would we not? How could we laugh in the presence of someone's grief? How do we not rejoice with those who are rejoicing? It is because of that nature of the fact and the revelation, the understanding. I appreciate any direction where someone begins to get a concept of all of this, that we are all one. But you see, again, not to rehash an old series that we did on mysticism and Buddhism last year, but oneness and being one are not the same thing. Oneness is the same spiritual climb up a ladder as Christianity is. It's no different. Just because it's labeled as something else doesn't make it anything different from any other religion on the face of the earth. The only way you'll ever know the work of Christ is when and the full impact of that work and begin to see its work. I know that the work of being one in Christ has impact on people that don't even know it. It gives enough space to that creativity that is inside. Every degree that you are void of religion will be the degree that you will experience Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, can you imagine, though, not only being divested of religion, but actually knowing how this took place? That we went to the grave. The human race went to the grave. We went to the grave in Christ. And up from the grave we arose. And, you know, I was listening to Amazing Grace the other day. I love the song, but it's filled with Christianese. But I love the grace of God. Let me tell you what changed this whole thing for me. It blew me away. I could not even believe I heard it. So the girl was singing it, and of course, you know, it comes up to that part, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and it's just, and it is, you know, it brings tears to my eyes still. But it comes to that place where it says, when we've been there 10,000 years.
You said you weren't going to sing anymore, but okay.
Bright shining as the sun. This is how she changed it. When we've been here 10,000 years. And in one line, she absolutely annihilated all Christian doctrine.
She nailed it, eh?
So these adjustments that we're talking about, we're not talking about grace. We are talking about grace. We're not talking about the eternal effects of this. We're talking about also the present effect of this. We're talking about being on a planet that, just the same as I do genealogy right now, and I search back to, there's one line in my family that I can go back to the 1200s. There's going to be somebody in my family who'll be able to search that many years back, 1,000 years back, and be able to find me from 1,000 years in the future. They'll be able to find me. And what we're doing is we're trying to leave a footprint here. So when they come looking for us, Barris, that they're not just going to find a tombstone. They're not going to find just where the evidence that we were here. We want more than that. And for those of you listening, that's why you're involved in this gospel revolution. You folks, we're going to die. Can I shock you with a reality? You're on your way out. That's just all there is to it. I'm on my way out. We are all on our way out. And if that reality is not something that we have settled, then we're not going to be putting a great deal of effort into what people are going to find left here when we are gone.
Joel Osteen wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. And some guy up on Facebook put a picture of some starving kids in Africa with their ribs sticking out and begging with their hands out for just a grain of rice, and juxtaposed that beside this Your Best Life Now and said, whose best life now?
Yeah.
But if you want your best life now, you need to understand that it's in your hands. There is no trumpet sound going to blast through the air and every eye shall see and every ear shall hear it. That happened.
Yes.
And the proof that every ear's heard it is you've heard it. And people know in their hearts, to a single man, everybody on earth knows in their hearts, we are one. That often has to get past our brains.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. We are one. And once we understand we are one and your future is in your hands, not your doctrine's hands, not your pastor's hands, not even your own beliefs' hands, not even in your own faith's hands, but it's in your hands. Suddenly, you're going to take the reins of your own life and you're going to say, it was never this good before.
This is very true. So, I think everybody knows that I certainly feel incredibly privileged to get to do what I do. I know Barris feels that. I know Jeff feels that. I know all of us, and I know that all of you out there, when it comes to understanding this and what you've heard today, it's just simple gospel. We didn't go through anything complicated. We didn't have to jump through hoops and skip from, this prophecy being fulfilled. And then all of a sudden time was put on hold and Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel's yet to be fulfilled and blood moons that are coming up having something to do with prophecy that Jesus said was all about him. I mean, dear God, folks, if nothing else on this Easter, just sit back and rejoice that you don't have to participate in that trash. You don't have to participate in it.
Michael, we're going to hear from Jeffrey about who's given into the pledge drive. So we name names here, and we
we do.
Yeah, and. So
do you know whose name he keeps leaving out?
Yours.
Yeah.
Doesn't mention mine either.
No, I put in $1,000, and he refuses to even mention my name.
Yeah, there you go. There's gratitude for you, huh? A little whippersnapper. He said last week, I don't know if you heard it, but he said last week, please help me get rid of living with Mike.
I heard you put those words in his mouth, yes.
I do my best, mate. I'm just a poor man trying to do good.
Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hey, tell us about the pledge drive. How is it going, buddy?
It's going well. I think we are about a guesstimation, which Jeff can certainly give us a better handle on this. We are at about halfway. we have a couple of people who are thinking on this, and these folks in many cases come through pretty good, you know, especially in something that is a special goal of the Gospel Revolution. We still need you guys' help. So if you have an inclination to help us get through this point and establish this office for the ministry, a home for Jeff, and a vehicle that runs, that's kind of what we're doing in one swoop here, and terminating any rent that the ministry would ever pay for office space is what we're, the investment will return itself on the ministry many times. But we are placing the funds that you guys designate for this $25,000. I think we can get the job done for $25,000. So keep helping us. We've got a couple more weeks left in this, and we're going to get the job done. I'm going to be making some more calls myself. So answer your phone.
So if you have any inclination whatsoever to help us, pray. Pray deeply and long, and then just go ahead and write us a check, okay? So
yes, and if you hear two numbers, and one's a big number, and the other one is a small one, just remember, the small one is the devil.
There you go, yeah. God acts in big ways. You don't mess around with
Absolutely. We thank you guys so much. Goodness, I so enjoy what I do. It is the reason that we ask for money is because that is the only way that this is going to go. I got a really nasty letter this week, too.
About time.
Take me off your mailing list. And
can we say their name? Because they've given us something.
No.
Oh,
we can't.
Yeah. Very convenient. You can't.
And they wanted off the mailing list, and that all we talk about is money.
Was it John Hagee?
And no, I wouldn't mind mentioning Brother John's name. But I thought, you know, well, whoever this is doesn't really listen. So, like, we just did this PowerCast. We only do fundraisers once every quarter. And what did we do? We spent 5 minutes talking about the funds, even in the middle of a pledge drive. So out of this entire
the very audacity we have,
it's just to mention 5 minutes, to take 5 minutes. How dare you? All you talk about is money. So we accommodated and removed the name from our list, and which we hate to see happen.
Was this guy ever a donor?
No, we have no record of a donation from the name. It also says that he's written us many, 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 many letters and has gotten no response. Jeff has got a recorded log of every email that's ever come into the ministry, and we have no record unless he used a different email. And I admit that occasionally there's an email that falls off of my screen and I wind up not responding in the way that I should. But that never happens to Jeff. So
happens to me that way too. But yeah, Jeff's he's like a very fine sieve. That fella.
So if it came into the website, which would be the only address that the person would have had access to, but goodness, we want to respond to everybody. We want to respond to your questions. It may be difficult for us to get to the questions sometime, but. As everyone has seen, we love the questions. We love to address these things because they're what really gives us such great shows and great things to talk about.
But the audacity of a jerk to say, all you do is talk about money, and he's never ever given once. He hasn't. He actually hasn't got the brains to figure out that, listen, that's freedom. You don't have to give, you fool.
Yes. No matter how much we ask, you don't have to give.
Holy dooly. And we didn't make you feel guilty once.
No, we would try, but, I mean, you know, it fails every time.
back to TBN and CBN with you, yeah, man. I don't know what to say.
You righteous, holy person who sent us a nasty email.
Who's an idiot. I mean, holy and righteous people can be idiots, can't they?
I can, yes.
Okay, well, I know that you're too nice to say it, so I'll just call him, you idiot. You perfect, holy and righteous oxygen thief. You know, it's not the people who agree with us, it's the people who question us that help us make progress. That's how we've done it since day one. What are your thoughts on what we've just been talking about? Why don't you call me on area code 234-564-0971 and let us know what you think about that. Else you can just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. That was freedom@gospelrevolution.com. What do you think about that?
Michael, it's James Oliver calling from Kelowna, British Columbia. I was at your latest your deal over here in Calgary. I'm just giving you some feedback on the Gospel 101. Man, it's awesome. It's truly awesome. I got the Gospel of Peace, I got the Gospel of Grace, and I got the comparisons between the flood and the cross. I got it down inside. I've listened to it morning and night for 4 days since I got back. And it's made all the difference. It's made all the difference, man. 30 years of reading and struggling and not knowing how to connect the parts and put the puzzle together that's there. And it makes all the difference. I really, really love you for the work you did, man. I really, really love you. Appreciate it so much. Thank you. And I'll be ordering more in the future. So I just got to get these, the ones, the 25 that I bought, I split them up between me and Dee and Lee. And I've got them all assigned to different people that I used to go to church with years ago. And once I get them, that's time, I'll be ordering more, I'm sure. Anyways, talk to you later. I really love you. Anyways, God bless you, bro. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is what we've all been looking for. This is what we've all been looking for, was how do we decipher what's been written, and how do we know for sure where we stand when we read what we read?
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family. Dua.
Gospel Revolution.
And so it is that we must leave you, folks. We love you one and all, and we especially thank all who, with your financial support, except that person, keep this message of grace and peace going out every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of this gospel, call our call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show or for myself, simply telephone me at area code 234-564-0971. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and we are always up for a Facebook chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, All the Gospel All the Time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And so it is good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where I've got to get a mop out and clean the place up this week sometime.
Your Laura's coming home.
Not this week, but next week, the week after, she'll be coming home. And, mate, what can I say?
Whole different life.
I realize how much she used to do.
Yes, absolutely. Well, our best to you and our sweet Laura. My goodness, you got a family, Barris, and we all care. And I'm so proud of the guys for sending in cards to Laura and people that she doesn't even know their names. She is having to ask you, you know, who the heck are these people?
That's wonderful.
Which I think is just beautiful. And but thank you, folks. Also, in closing here, I want to offer we'll pick out a series, but it's only going to be for the first two people who identify two bloopers on Jeff's video dated April the 13th. I caught them. I laughed. I thought it was funny. I pointed it out to him, and he was so confident that he decided to go ahead and publish it with the bloopers in there. But I caught them, and I want to see who our first two people that we get either phone calls or emails from who can find Jeff's bloopers in the April 13th video that he produced and sent out. If you can find those two bloopers and let me know what they were, we'll send you any series that I have. Any, even the brand new one. We've got a brand new, it arrived yesterday in the mail, I think, even the our last Canada series. We had a little bit of a delay in some of the production of that, but oh, it's beautiful. I'm just really thrilled. So we love you guys. Thank you. Thank you for getting us through this pledge drive. And with all of our talking about money, we sure do appreciate it. I hope you enjoy your Easter. I don't care that it's a pagan holiday. I don't care that it used to be the feast of the first fruits. I don't care. We decided somewhere along the way that we were going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But remember, when you're celebrating the resurrection of Christ, you are not just celebrating the resurrection of Christ. You are celebrating the resurrection of the entire planet from the dead.
Woohoo! So remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
I know what's going to happen, so I know it's going to be better.
There you go.
Counted as pure. Spirit.